If you've been following the US election campaign from afar, you'll know that both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have drawn on grassroots campaigns that are run by large teams of volunteers. What you may not know is that some of those are Australian, and you're about to meet two of them. Alistair Kitchen was working in the US, and when his job ended, he travelled to New Hampshire to join the army, trying to persuade people to vote for Bernie Sanders. Alistair Stevenson was also working in the US as a digital strategist. He's now community team leader for Elizabeth Warren in Detroit, and a warm welcome to them both.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Maybe Alistair Stevenson, I'll start with you. Had you been involved in political campaigns here in Australia before you moved to the States?
I had not. I had only ever followed US politics from afar, like a lot of Australians do. We can't help but tune in because they dominate so much of the media landscape. But when I moved here, it was largely to get involved in politics. And so when I saw an opportunity, I decided to just jump right in.
And what drew you to Elizabeth Warren's campaign?
Well, it was really important to me that a woman was elected to the White House, which is partly why I supported Hillary in 2016. But as I've evolved myself, I've realized that progressive values are something that I didn't want to compromise on. And in 2020, I didn't have to compromise anymore. Elizabeth Warren was able to, you know, deliver on the big, bold, progressive vision that I think really meets the moment, especially after the election of Donald Trump. And I think it's really important that a woman holds that position. And I think she's really the best person for the job.
And I won't dwell on this, but did you have to sort of pick yourself up? Were you very demoralized in the wake of Hillary's defeat?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the beautiful things about getting involved this time around is people don't realize actually how much hope it can give you getting off Twitter and getting out onto the streets and knocking on doors and actually meeting people. And so it's actually been quite healing getting involved in all of this.
What about you, Alistair Kitchen? Had you been part of political campaigns in Australia?
No, in fact, I've always very much avoided politics in Australia because I always felt that none of the parties were really interested in getting people involved, participating in democracy in the way that we're starting to see here with both the Warren campaign and the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Oh, now you've got to develop that. What do you mean?
Well, my feeling is that for both Warren and Sanders, but particularly for Sanders, we're seeing something that is pretty unprecedented, which is a grassroots, in the real sense of the word, diverse coalition of everyday people directly participating in their democracy. And what I think is important there is that for the last 20 or 30 years in both Australia and the United States, people have felt like the only time they should be involved in politics is in the ballot box on election day. But what we're seeing, I think, is that politics is too important to be left to the politicians. And these campaigns are beginning to demonstrate that when everyday working people get involved, well, finally, you can start to exercise power together in communities and put pressure on the people that need pressure put upon them, which is corporations and politicians.
Yeah, this tallies with, we interviewed James Fallows on Saturday Extra a couple of weeks back, a very seasoned observer of the US, and he and his wife had been going around the states on a commission to look at grassroots feelings, actually, and he found a great deal of engagement and almost optimism and hope, but not about the national stage. Now, are you finding that, Alistair Stevenson, or not?
I think it is mixed. I honestly believe that while the levels of anxiety that people are feeling about this election couldn't be higher, at the same time, it is also true that people are also more willing to get involved because of it. You see it when you're knocking doors every weekend and throughout the week, people just want someone electable. They just want to get rid of Donald Trump. At the same time, that doesn't mean that they're turning away. They're more likely to sign up for a shift or to go to a meeting. And I feel like that, I wouldn't have guessed that going into this election, but actually the willingness that people are, you know, willing to put themselves into some of the community and to mobilize themselves is actually really inspiring.
And yet, only 55%, which was regarded as a good turnout, turned out for the midterm elections, where, of course, the Democrats did come back. So for all of what you're describing, does it really resonate, Alistair Kitchen, with broader Americans who choose to sort of sit back a bit?
Well, I think the important thing to realize is that, firstly, voting is not compulsory in the United States. And a lot of the political parties have in their interests that most people stay home. They don't want young people to come out to vote. They don't want poor people to come out to vote. And the premise of the Sanders campaign and the Warren campaign to a lesser extent is that the only way you bring about positive progressive change is by bringing those people to the polls. And what we saw in those primaries in Nevada and Iowa was that the Sanders campaign in particular was doing a very good job of getting people who are normally kept outside of the political process to be involved.
And so what do you do? How do you get them out?
Well, one thing is you send out organizers to talk to people face-to-face in the language that they speak at home. So if you're in Nevada and a huge proportion of the working class are Spanish speakers and the only political messaging in the country is in English, those people are being effectively and deliberately kept out of the political process. And one incredibly heartwarming thing we've seen from the Sanders campaign in particular is what they're calling constitutional organizing, which is going to communities, different ethnic groups, different multicultural populations, and sending organizers into those areas who are already part of those communities and organizing them and helping them build their own grassroots power.
And have you been involved? Like, you go around, you knock door to door, do you?
That's exactly right. In New Hampshire, where I was, New Hampshire's in an incredibly white state. But what we have in Manchester, the city where I was a large Nepalese and Bhutanese population. And we had Nepalese organizers in my office whose job was to get the local Nepalese and Bhutanese populations involved in politics.
How did you find the organizers in the first place?
Well, it's one of the great things about the campaign is that once you get a bit of momentum, it starts to attract people. So in that case, the Nepalese organizer in my office was brought into their office by someone else who said, here's a thing that I think you want to be involved with. And they got there, had their eyes opened, and said, fantastic, I've got a community of people out there who are currently not being listened to by politicians, and I want to give them a voice.
Very interesting. And Al Stevenson, you're in Detroit door-knocking for Elizabeth Warren. What do most people want to talk to you about?
Well, actually, the example that Alistair Kitchen just brought up that was really interesting around this idea of getting into communities and organizing authentically really resonates in Detroit, as Detroit has the highest population of African Americans in the entire country in one city. And so the Warren campaign has been very intentional about making sure that we don't just divide up our organizing according to zip codes. We actually do that as well as recognizing what the communities are that might exist across geography. And so making sure that there is an entirely separate community and strategy and plan for Black and brown people, for immigrants, for LGBTQ people, and the like interesting intersection of all of those groups.
So let me ask both of you, what do they say about Donald Trump and the whole question of national issues, or are they much more focused on localized issues like healthcare, for instance, which is what yielded the Democrats such fruit in the midterms?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the honest answer is a mix. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to not find a voter where the specter of Donald Trump isn't weighing heavily on them. You hear it time and time again. And Alistair Kitchen, I'm sure that you hear this too in your door knocking. People just want someone who is electable. And this idea of electability is such a stubborn and dogged one. People want someone who is electable, but it's actually the self-fulfilling thing. You can make them electable if you just like them and you choose to elect them. Yeah, it's this really interesting dynamic where people are almost paralyzed to make a decision until the last minute.
On that note, what we find again and again when we knock on doors is that the number one issue for nearly every voter who's a registered Democrat is getting Donald Trump out of the White House.
And they say that to you.
They say that to you on the doorstep. It's very, very front of mind. Now, for a lot of voters, particularly older voters, they look at Bernie Sanders and they say, look, you know, they call him a socialist. He's too left-wing. The only way that you can win power is that you have to move to the center and be a moderate. Now, we tried that in 2016 and it didn't work very well, unfortunately. So if you have my type of politics, you will respond by saying, look, in fact, I think what we need is energy and a movement and organization and something that can compete with the particular appeal that Donald Trump's neo-fascism has. Now, if you're Elizabeth Warren, you've got another problem which is similar, and it's extremely unfortunate, which is that Al Stevenson, I'm sure you come across this, which is that when voters say, look, I'm just not sure she's electable, what they're really saying is, I'm not sure a woman can be elected. And there's this horrible sexist self-fulfilling prophecy where people look to other voters around them and they ask, is that person ready to vote for a woman? And they let that decide whether or not they're ready to vote for a woman themselves.
Is that right, Al Stevenson?
You certainly see a lot of that. But I think what is very inspiring about this, these grassroots movements that we're seeing, is that, especially in the case of Elizabeth Warren, you are bringing out a lot of women who did not see themselves as part of the political process. Like, a vast majority of the people on the ground have never participated in an election before, whether it's a single door knocking shift or staying in the fight for weeks on end. And many of those same people, especially here in Michigan, which really reaped some great returns in the midterms, there are the people who powered the women's wave of 2018 and the people who were otherwise felt themselves traditionally excluded from the process. And just to build on what you were saying, Al Kitchen, earlier about, you know, do you move to the center and elect a moderate because that's our safest bet, or do you go with a true progressive? I think what's really interesting about the pitch that Warren is making is that this is actually a false choice. What you can do is create a progressive agenda full of these big sweeping ideas and this bold vision, but it's actually got at the center of it ideas that poll well amongst Republicans, independents, and Democrats. And that's Medicare for all, Green New Deal, anti-corruption plans. These things by themselves are very appealing to like the broad American electorate. And so you don't actually have to choose between moving to the center and things that are actually good for the country.
Right. So in fact, Geraldine, when I think both Al Stevenson and I knock on doors, what we end up doing with voters is just trying to talk to them about the issues that are affecting their lives directly and then trying to link them to the policies which are on the table. And that, I think, is how you get voters to realize that, you know, what matters in their life are these specific policies, whether or not they have healthcare, whether or not the government is moving towards greening the economy. And that helps you get out of the trap of being thought of as too progressive.
Yes, because, I mean, negative partisanship, which seems to be so vivid, and in fact there's some very interesting writing about that by a woman called Rachel Bartikoffer, who's an analyst. She says this is, people just do not realise how deep-seated this is. Are you finding that? None of you have really mentioned that yet. To you first, Al Kitchen.
I think one thing that is particularly special about Bernie Sanders' campaign is that you do not find that. Now, I think you absolutely, absolutely do find that with each of the other candidates. But one thing that I in particular feel strongly about is that when I knock on doors, very often I will come across a door where I'm there to speak to often the wife of the household who is a registered Democrat. And the man who opens the door will be a registered Republican. And he will say to me, look, I'm a Republican. I'm a Trump voter. I think Trump is what it's about. But please come inside, talk to my wife. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders. I think he's fantastic and honest. And that is extremely exciting because I think what it is pointing to is that if you speak clearly and authentically and loudly about the issues, the grievances that everyday people are feeling, you will reach across the divide. And particularly if you look to someone like a Biden or a Bloomberg or a Buttigieg, those figures are absolutely never, ever going to attract a Republican voter.
Al Stevenson?
Yeah, I think this idea that these moderates or these people that have to move to the center or they feel like they have to are more attractive in the center is maybe an aging concept. I feel like when we allow these politicians to move to the center and move away from progressive ideals, we don't give them a hard enough time and ask them, well, what are you giving up and who are you sacrificing in the spirit of moving towards these issues? And often it's really vulnerable people. It's not, you know, we picture the average household in New Hampshire that Alistair Kitchen might be knocking on the door of, and we immediately conjure up this image of like a white middle-class family. And those people are important, but the people that don't get their doors knocked on often in, you know, migrant communities or in their black and brown communities, those people are left out without even being part of the process.
Now, a quick final question to both of you. Are you ever going to come back home, Alistair Stevenson?
Well, Mum's listening, so I think the answer has to be yes.
And engage with politics here?
That's... I think I am really excited to take everything that I'm learning here and bring it back to Australia. One of the reasons why I came over in the first place is because, like it or not, you know, a lot of the bold progressive ideas and ideologues are coming out of America. And I think we often look to this country to see what are the best bits that we can take in order to make our democracy better in Australia.
So. And Alistair Kitchen?
Yeah, my answer is very similar to Al Stevenson's, even with the fact that my mum would be very upset if I did not come home. But one of the reasons that I got involved here is that there is knowledge and tactics and a way of doing things developing here that is absent in Australia, an entire way of doing politics. And I had that hypothesis. I wanted to see it on the ground so that I could learn from it and, in fact, bring it back to Australia and apply it where and if I could. I've never been convinced that any of the political parties in Australia quite know what they're doing, but I'm hoping enough Australians, we two Alistairs, are going to be involved in the next 10 years and try and pull that around.
Well, look, it's been fabulous to speak to you both. You're obviously having a ball, but I hope we do get you back and you can bring all that back to Australia. Thank you both very much for speaking to Saturday Extra.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you so much, Geraldine.
The two Alistairs, Stevenson and Kitchen, and Alistair Kitchen wrote his piece in Mianjin in the February edition, and it's an expansion of what you've heard.